Mōrearea e te whānau, nau mai hoki mai, welcome to another Māori Millionaire podcast episode. I'm very excited to have Rochelle here from R&P Insurance. We've actually done some podcast episodes before, which I'm going to link all of them down below. If you guys have been here for a long time, you'll already know we did a brand partnership last year. We were just talking about actually, but it feels like so long ago. If you haven't already seen Rochelle's amazing mahi online, she is a Māori Women's Development Inc. Award winner for Te Wai Pounamu, which is amazing. I'm so proud of her and her mahi. And yeah, as I said, we've actually got four podcast episodes, which will all be available in the description below. We've gone deep into health insurance, car insurance, contents, business life, trauma, income protection, all of it down in the description below. But today's episode is how we can actually use insurance to build and protect generational wealth and what tips Rochelle has for us all. Of course, none of the information provided today or any other day should be considered financial or insurance advice, but I've got a copy of the full disclaimer available in the description below. But yeah, I'm so excited to have you here with us today, Rochelle. Welcome to the podcast again. How are you?
Kia ora e hoa and kia ora e te whānau. I'm really good, thank you. Getting to the end of the year, I'm really excited for a bit of a break, I think, but also excited what's to come in the future, working in communities and everything like that, which you'll be involved in as well. And this is something, I guess, this episode today, something you and I have been chatting about for a wee while, and a lot of mahi that I've been doing with some of our clients. To try build generational wealth without having it all right now. We're very future-thinking people, Māori. So, it's just something I thought would be really interesting to share.
Me too. And as you know, I'm always picking your brain like, oh my gosh, Rochelle, like, how should I do this? What is the better way to do this? So I am very much excited to actually dive deep into this because this is a kaupapa that is very important for our whānau. And I think that there's a lot of misinformation out there about insurance. And I think people also don't understand how insurance really works or how affordable sometimes it can actually be. So I'm really looking forward to actually being able to learn more about this. To get us started, I guess, what can you share about how you or your clients actually use insurance?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me personally is so I'm a single mama. My daughter is 17, she turns 18 in January, but her whole life has been, and I've had insurance since I could get it when I was 18, because my sole goal in life was to ensure she didn't have the upbringing I had. And, you know, money's a part of that. There's a little bit more freedom in having money there. And I didn't have money sitting in an account that I could pass to her. I didn't own a home that I could give to her. Assets and cash just weren't there to back me up. So I've always had something there in case something happened to me that she would be able, like someone could take care of her without having to worry about money. She could still live the same lifestyle I would have tried to have given her without me. Now it's more about protecting my income, protecting my health. And the wealth that I have built. It's ensuring I don't lose my business if I get sick. I can, you know, still I can get income protection, or I do have income protection, or trauma insurance if I get really unwell. It means that I can go to the private health system if something's wrong with me, which I've done many, many times. I still hold my life insurance for my daughter, and I always will. And the reason for that is that my partner and I, who's not her biological father, will go build assets together. And then I've got my business, which is an asset with Philly. It starts getting a bit complicated at that point. So I just go, I've got this amount of money there for her. And I've leveled my premiums. That means, you know, when you fix a mortgage. So I basically fixed my premiums on my life insurance until I turn 100. And then the life insurance company I'm with will actually, if I live longer than 100, bless, then the life insurance company will actually cover my premiums after that. So it's a guaranteed payout, knowing that my daughter or my mokopuna are going to get that money, and it's going to start them out in life in a good way. Because I, you know, I mean, I may have all these assets, but who knows? I just know that that's guaranteed.
That's amazing. I love that so much. And I really admire like the future thinking. And I think this is something we could all really like learn from. So I really love that. And thank you for sharing. In terms of like the disparities and outcomes you see with insurance, do you see like are there disparities there in our whānau Māori or Pasifika getting involved with insurances? And like what do you think causes these inequities?
I think there's like it's definitely there. There's nothing blatant that I could pull from a stats point of view because I mean it's not recorded on. But where I see it is one, there's very few of us in the industry that are financial advisors that you look at them and go, hey, they look like me. That's someone that I would really like to get advice from. I believe I am one of very, very few, two, maybe three wahine Māori that own their own business in the industry, which I don't think that's fair. For people to only have one or two people to choose from when they want to deal with someone. I'm not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but I do have an amazing array of Māori and Pacifica tangata moana clients. The other side of that, so that's lack of choice, right? The other side of that is, you know, when we you might talk to people, clients of yours who work in a business where they're offered insurance. And so when iwi want to do this, there's barely anyone out there that will do it because it's not an employment contract. You're a member of an iwi. So when you go, that's a disparity because an iwi's going, hey, we want this. But again, you're reducing choice because the way that it's set up isn't te ao Māori based. It is a Western way of thinking and it's all an employment contract. So it's not a money issue. It's a process and system issue, like it always is. And then I guess from yeah, it's just an access point and educational point. It's very hard to get in front of the right people to explain all of this, and we as a people need it the most, in my opinion, because of the way that we future think. I'm not saying no one else future thinks, but I know that we do.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's always babies, babies, babies. It's never what can I get me right now? There's always something else down the line. And so insurance is, hey, look, I might not be able to get into a house. I might not ever be able to own a home today, or I'm going to own a home, but there's no way if I die in 10 years, it's going to be paid off. And I don't want to leave my children debt, or I don't want them starting out life in minus. There are a lot of parents out there who get kids to borrow money for them to buy things, and then their parents pass, and they then have to cover that debt. Passing away and having to cover funeral expenses, and then everybody goes backwards. So it's kind of a way of going, I'm going to secure this amount to know that, well, first of all, I'm not going to put anyone behind, but second, I could actually give them a head start because equity-wise, we're not in any position to be at that starting line the same as everybody else's. So this is just a way that we can get into the system and use it to our benefit. One example I have is this is a client of mine, father, and he has had his he's just been blessed with his first moko. His daughter's living with him, and he bought his first home as well. So when we looked at cover, it was actually, I need this forever because I don't, if I die, which could be with anywhere, you know, it's not necessarily going to be at age 100. I just want to know that my whānau are taken care of and my daughter's not going to get kicked out of my house or have to sell it. And so that's what we did. I had another whānau who they look after their parents. So it's making sure that a system set up for everyone in that whānau that if something goes wrong, money's there to just take care of it because you know if something happens, we all just drop everything with our whānau, you know, and we go to that tangi, we're there at the hospital, it doesn't matter what. It's always people first, work second. Yeah. So that's just yeah, a way that I've seen it work. And those are some of the disparities that create barriers for us as a people.
This is huge, and I think I had another question, which was, you know, around why this is important, but I think it's clear to see why this is really important, and I think Even if we look at, what's happening at the moment in our world, we can clearly see that Māori have a disadvantage in so many areas. So if this is going to be able to even just level the playing field, even in the slightest, I think I'd be grateful for that if anyone listening in today was able to actually get insurance for them or for their whānau. In terms of like the finances, which I know is a huge barrier that I've heard a lot of people talking about, I know that many of us don't actually know how expensive different insurances are. And I was actually very positively surprised when I actually got insurance for myself. I thought, I don't know what, like I just imagined insurance something was something that like only the super wealthy had, that it was going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And I was really surprised that I could get, my own health insurance and all the other different insurances that I have, for something that was relatively reasonable, in my eyes for what I was able to get. Could you talk us through a little bit about like how the premiums are actually made, or like how they're decided and what we're actually looking at from a cost perspective to get insured? Obviously, I know there's different types of insurances. What does this look like for our whānau?
Yeah, so the way that insurance is calculated in regards to cost and assessed from a risk perspective for the company that's insuring you is based on a few things. So we've got age, smoking status, what job you do, your gender, and any other health issues. So when I say issues, BMI is something that gets brought up, which is something a lot of people don't talk about, but it is a thing, and it's something that just to be aware of. I don't necessarily agree with the measurement of health in that way, but I'm not a doctor, and so I don't get to kind of, I guess, come from a hugely educated point of view there, which is the system we have to work within, and I help my clients figure it out. Gender is and this one's hard because when you're explaining it to someone and they're the same age and they're getting the same amount of cover, and then the guy will be like, why is my life insurance more expensive than hers? And that's because the life expectancy for a man is less than woman. So you've got less years to be paying that premium as opposed to woman. When it comes to health insurance, woman's is more expensive because we claim more. We're more likely to be injured or fall ill, sorry, more likely to fall ill as a woman, as opposed to men who are more likely to be injured or have an accident. So ACC's really just for the boys. Illness stuff is quite heavily claimed on for women, especially cancer, breast cancer, ovarian, all of that. So that's like another cost. That's kind of how that cost is worked out from a gender perspective. Age, the older we get, the more expensive it is. And then smoking status. If you vape or smoke, or you have in the last 12 months and you're kind of known for that, you're going to get charged more. If you go 12 months, I gave up, oh, I've forgotten how long ago now, maybe 3 years. And once you give up for 12 months, no nicotine, nothing, then you can remove those smoking rates. When I last did a quote for someone for life insurance, say for a couple of $100,000, it was like $3 or $4 a week for that. So life insurance is the cheapest cover you can get, and if what's the most important to you is your babies, then you can just start with that. It's always better than what you could have, which is, well, what you have now, which is nothing. But it's just a really good way to protect your future. It also covers terminal illness in most cases as well. So if you're diagnosed with that, you can draw on it early. And that just means, whānau can stay home with you and be there with you whilst you're going through that process. I mean, they would anyway, but no one's losing money, right? Stuff like that is hard enough to go through without, like, from an emotional perspective, without adding money to that stress as well. I know it's a privilege to say this, but I really, really do not want people borrowing money for tangi. I just think that if we can get this done early and cheaply, and when we're in a healthy position, then that's down the track. But if we look at all of the statistics from a health perspective, we're not at the good end of them.
No.
So the likelihood of claiming on these covers is high, and not enough of us have them to protect ourselves and have that access to it. The way that insurance works, lump sum covers like life insurance, trauma cover are going to be cheaper than income protection, health insurance, which you can't really quantify how much money that could be. It could be millions, that you could claim on, whereas this gets paid out once. So you can move through these covers and they go from, the least expensive to the most expensive, and you can mix and match on your budget on whatever you feel is right for you. If I'm honest with you, a lot of my clients, especially single mama, are less about the cost, they're more about how it's going to benefit them. And once they know that, they fit it into the budget as something that's just supposed to be there, like your power, your rent, your car. And it's just maybe a new way of thinking about it. But if you're young, and especially young parents, get that cover and get it early if you can put it in place, because it's cheaper then.
No, that's amazing. And one of the things that just came up in my head was around those disparities. That would also be like a disparity if like we have disproportionate levels of like poor health, then we're going to be paying more in insurance premiums, which is something else that's there. So I guess in terms of like a strategy to get our premiums down, it would be like a holistic approach to everything. So being able to like look after ourselves and take a proactive approach with our health that would impact how much we're paying in our premiums.
Yes, absolutely. So, I don't even want to judge someone on how they live their life, but yeah, living a taking a holistic approach to life, getting outside regularly, moving the body. I know that you do this and you have been consistently for so long. I'm so proud of you. It's not only going to help physically, but mentally as well. I've seen people make themselves sick by not taking care of their mental health, like physically ill. So doing that, but also financially, like educating yourself as well from a financial perspective, getting a financial coach, getting someone to help you with kind of setting this up. And I guess sometimes what I see is insurance being treated as this unnecessary expense that you can just get rid of when times are hard. And some people can. Some people have got assets and cash and everything to back that up. That's a privileged place to come from, and not a lot of us are in. So I think getting to a place where you keep in touch with your advisor or myself and let them know how, what's happening, so they can help you move cover around if you need to bring premiums down. So lessening cover, doing a longer wait period on income protection, a higher excess on health insurance. Those are ways that you can update the price. If you put cover in place and you've got a higher premium, say because you've got a higher BMI, working on that over time is only going to bring that down, and then you might be able to afford other cover, or you can put that money away to save. When you can afford to level your premiums as far as you can, because then 100% guaranteed you can rely on that. That's not going to go up in a ridiculous amount, and then you're going to have to cancel it in a few years when it's unaffordable.
Could we dive into that a little bit more in terms of so the leveling the premiums, is that the same as like locking it, did you say, from like if I say, for example, we've got like a young person who's got no health conditions, or no problems, are they able to lock their like life insurance, health insurance for a long period of time? How does that kind of work?
Yeah, so for like a young person to do it, say, I don't know, let's just again, and we'll go with the 200,000. And young, I'm talking like early 20s. If you were to lock that into the highest you could, which at the moment is age 100, I think another insurance company goes higher, but we'll just keep it simple. You're probably looking at less than $10 a week to keep that insurance forever, and it's not going to go up every year. And you just know every week I'm going to pay $10. So when you're 60 years old and everybody else's cover is like $500 a month, because it will be, yours is still going to be $10 a week. So that's the jump up. We call it level cover because you'll pay a little bit more upfront. And then after, it's usually anywhere between year 8 to 12 of having the cover, sometimes shorter if you're older. At that point, you're pretty much going to be paying that same premium anyway. And then after that, it's not going up. It's literally just leveled out.
Right. Okay, and so the alternative of that is to have like a potentially cheaper premium, like currently, but it will just kind of go up in line with inflation or more or.
Both inflation and age.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. However, the insurance company prices, but generally with inflation or whatever their costs are. But yeah, we call it stepped.
Yeah.
So it'll just step up every year, which is okay for the most part when you're not sure how long you're going to keep your cover for and you're just getting used to it. Usually the first 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And then, like me, you go, actually, you know what? I'm going to keep that forever. Let's just lock that in now so I don't have to worry about it. Because what will happen is as you get older, the only one you're really going to keep is life insurance. Trauma will drop off potentially when you're 70, 75. Health insurance, again, you'll get to about $600, $700 a month eventually on that costing you. So that might go as well. And you might just make sure you've got some cash savings there to pay for things you need. But life insurance is the one that you're long term potentially still going to need to take care of those you're leaving behind.
Wow, this has been so helpful, Rochelle. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with me and everyone listening in today. I have a question about those listening in today who are like, oh my gosh, I think I need to get insurance and I'm really not sure how. I've personally like been on the web before I found you, of course, and I've been like searching all the different websites and it's really hard to actually find one and know that you're like signing up for the right one. And there's also so many different documents and things to read, like, oh my gosh, so much. So how can someone actually get support from you to be able to sign up for insurances or get started with their insurance journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few different ways you can reach out to us on Instagram. Quite active on there. So at RANDP Insurance, RNP Insurance, or come via our website, rnpinsurance.co.nz, and send us a message. We've got our email, or mine. So there's Rochelle at rnpinsurance.co.nz or Kia ora at rnpinsurance.co.nz. One thing I will say is, first of all, my advice, my time for our clients is free. We never charge fees. So I just want people to be aware of that because sometimes people get scared. They go, advisor, how much do you cost? And the second part is we have access to multiple insurance companies, all the ones that you find on the internet. And if we don't have access to them, it's because they're not good.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's actually not any more expensive to come with us. In fact, you're probably going to get it cheaper through us than you would through an internet or a phone thing. I understand not wanting to talk to someone, but this is so important to get right because you don't want to pay for something you're not going to get paid out on. And yeah, that's, I guess, what my little bit to say. Find someone you feel like you can connect with and you can be open with and trust. If that's not me, that's fine. There are other advisors out there. But it is hard, I think, from a paperwork point of view to look at all of that stuff and understand it. And I'm very, very plain English. Yes, all the wording's there, but I'm going to give it to you really straight as well.
Yeah. And I would definitely recommend having a chat to Rochelle and RMP Insurance because I've personally done this and she is literally the best at just breaking everything down. I was like, Rochelle, what does this mean? What does this mean, Rochelle? And she'll just
Yeah.
answer it to me in plain English. So of course all of Rochelle's contact details are gonna be in the description below, alongside all of the other episodes that we've recorded about the different insurances that there are available. If you're wanting to just learn a bit more about those, I would definitely recommend just, investing some time into learning about these things because honestly, my life has changed since learning about insurances. Like, one of them that I didn't even know existed was travel insurance. Like, I had been on a few different trips and I didn't even know. And I don't know if it was you that told me, but someone told me about travel insurance. I was like, oh my gosh, that is so smart. And I actually needed to use my travel insurance this year. So I'm so grateful that I actually learned about travel insurance and paid for travel insurance. So many different things to insure e te whānau, but make sure to go have a look in the description below because all of the information is down there. But I just wanted to thank you so much, Rochelle, for your time today and also congratulate you for your award. That is absolutely amazing. And I'm so, so proud of you. And I just, yeah, thank you so much for your time today. I have loved chatting with you. And I hope everyone listening in today is able to take something from today's podcast episode.
We hoa.
Amazing. Ka kite.